Okay, we'll begin. The instructions today focus on the third foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness of mental formations, or mindfulness of the citta. Citta is the Pali word that encompasses or includes both mind and heart together. There isn't really a translation that works properly in English. Can you give me the Hebrew word for citta or mental formations? Yes. Yes. Okay. So I've just been told that in Hebrew there's consciousness and heart. However, another way of explaining this is simply the way that we meet the world. We meet the world with all of our thoughts, ideas, perceptions, notions about who we are. We meet the world with our past conditioning. We can also meet the world with our purity of heart, with our kindness, with our generosity, with a warmth, with our freedom of heart. So when we begin this process, first of all, we have the attitude of checking our mind state today. So we rest into awareness and we just ask, how is my citta? How is the citta? What is my mind state? Or how is the mental activity today? So we're just checking it out, but we're checking it out with an attitude of allowing. So whatever we discover is completely fine. So this is really the first instruction in this section. The wording of the instruction is breathing in, experiencing the heart-mind. So sometimes, of course, we're very caught up in wanting mind, in greed, and sometimes we're not. Sometimes greed, or the mind that wants things to be otherwise, isn't there. There's ease with everything, so we can be caught in wanting mind or not. We can be caught up sometimes in irritation or negativity. In English we say we got out of the wrong side of the bed. And we're cranky. We don't like anything. Nobody can do anything right. This is the mind of negativity. So sometimes the mind feels a little like that. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes all negativity is absent. Sometimes the mind's very confused. We can't see clearly. So the mind feels very cloudy. It's as if there's a fog everywhere and we can't really define anything. And sometimes the mind feels rather clear, for example. Sometimes the mind might be elated or elevated, sometimes dull or flat, sometimes focused, sometimes distracted. So there's all kinds of things that we can discover when we just check in with ourselves. What is my mind state today? The way that we check in is we use our capacity to be aware to reflect on the mind or heart-mind itself. Awareness is there for each of us. We know how to be aware. It's a capacity of mind that we're born with. A baby has some awareness, and awareness just reveals what's happening. It reveals the sights, the sounds, the smells, the tastes, the touch, the thoughts. So having said all of that, let's just do it and see what we discover today. Breathing in, experiencing the heart mind. Breathing out, experiencing the heart mind or chitta. So what did you discover today when you just checked in? Anybody? Ah, yes, I can't see. Yes. Worried? Okay. So, we check, we see that there's thoughts and that the mind is moving to the future. Worry is about what might happen, when. Yes? Okay. Yes, so you worried about what's happening to your daughter, but the worry is about perhaps something that hasn't happened yet. Hasn't happened at all. Okay, so there we see that our fears and anxieties are put together with thoughts. And it's very important to see this, because there are the events of life, some of which can be, of course, very distressing and some not. But there's also what we add to it with the world of thought, how we overlay reality with our fears, with imagination, with thinking. And this process needs to be really seen. And we can, once we see it, we go, ah, there I go. Worrying about something that has not even happened yet, or not yet happened. So to be with life directly is to really see and know those thought formations, to get to know ourselves, know our habits of mind, and to be able to see clearly enough to step out of the habitual mind pattern. Anxiety or worry or fear relies on the notion of a separate sense of self. So inherent in that whole thought is the construct of the mother who is concerned about the daughter, the child. And so we have to see how we also do this, that the self is caught up in the role of the mother. Now, I'm not saying be heartless about your children. I would never say that. I adore my children. And of course, like any other mother, I'm concerned for them. But it's the level of concern and what happens that's important. Because it's rather easy to add to the situation our own fears and worries. So thank you for such a beautiful example. And I wish your daughter well. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, she says she doesn't know what's in her mind. It happens a lot when she's meditating. She doesn't know what she's thinking or feeling. She just experiences that her mind is empty. Are you saying that there's the absence of thought? Okay. Okay. So, sometimes when we look, we see that anger is absent, desire is absent, irritation is absent. Bravo! It's fine. Okay? If we look and see, there are no strong emotions today. And then there's this thought, and then a little while later, perhaps another thought. So there's a sense of spaciousness with the mind. There's the absence of the problematic. So when there aren't any problems, it doesn't mean that actually that there's nothing there. What we need to do then is to really just settle into that spaciousness. And then discover what that reveals. There's more to see, okay? But when the strong emotions are absent, that's really the ground for freedom right there. We can just see how we can be with life when there isn't a problem anywhere. So the freedom can be right there. When you said there's nothing, what did you mean exactly? Okay. Okay. Well, there was plenty revealed. There was the absence of any difficulty revealed. Sometimes we don't notice this. So in our daily life, there are many moments where there isn't a difficulty. There's nothing unpleasant happening. There's nothing marvelous happening. But there isn't a problem. And what we do with our attention is we skip over this. So part of our training is to notice that, to notice the absence of any problem. Because when problems are absent, fantastic. It's good news. Anyone else? Yes. She said she had mostly a feeling of remembering what she's been thinking about today. So the mind goes to the past. So, well seen. What we do is the mind remembers and roams through the fields of time, sometimes to the past with remembering, sometimes to the future, as we heard, with anxiety and worry. And sometimes the mind can also, of course, be caught up in the present. We can cling to the present as well. Anything more to add? You noticed that you were going to the past. Yes? The near past was sitting with a group of people watching the sunrise, which was beautiful. Yes, your eyes or the eyes of others? Yes, our eyes full of grief, yes. Yes. Okay, so in the present experience in those few minutes, there were many, many layers of mind. There was joy of the sunrise, there was the sorrow of tears, and everything in between. So this is the mind. We can be rather steady with that. We can just see it. Oh, my mind has the capacity to embrace both joy and sorrow. And this is, it's an extraordinary capacity we have as human beings to be with our joys fully and to be with our sorrows fully as well. And when we are like this, the heart is connected. There's a loveliness about that. It's beautiful. So we can just rest into that freedom of heart and mind where we don't have to fix upon anything in particular, but we can be with the totality of what comes to us. Let's go on to the next instruction. The next instruction is about deliberately gladdening the heart-mind. And this instruction was really made famous by the Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh. We talked about sitting with a half smile. So we are with life, we are with the heart mind, we are with everything that emerges, but with an attitude of gladness. And if you're not feeling glad today, perhaps a moment or two of gratitude will help. Because gratitude and gladness and joy are quite close together. So it's a beautiful, rather exquisite way to sit. So let's try it. The instruction is breathing in, gladdening the heart-mind. Breathing out, gladdening the heart mind. And if you've done this instruction before, really bring freshness to the attention. Did anyone have a direct experience of gladness? Yes. Yes. She said once she actually made a half smile. Something, and she pointed to her heart, felt happy. So immediately there was the gladness and the happiness. Yes. Yes. And then came gratitude for the capacity to touch into happiness and gladness just with the simple half smile. It's remarkable. we can set an intention. We don't necessarily have to do a half smile, but you can. But more importantly, we're setting the intention and then just doing it. Now, in that intervening couple of moments, it's important that we don't demand gladness. Because if we do it demanding a particular outcome, wanting a particular outcome, it's quite likely that it doesn't happen. We get too caught then in the desire for a particular outcome. So it requires a receptivity, an openness, putting aside our mind that wants a particular thing. And then in that openness, blessedly, sometimes the gladness and the happiness just comes. Anyone else? Yes? Yes. So it's a shift from the intention, the words, to the direct experience of it. So it's the movement from thinking about something or remembering something that makes you glad to the direct experience of the gladness felt in the body. So it's a matter of just doing it, being rather open, being just, the attention needs to be quite tender and soft. And we just wait. And then sometimes we really feel this wonderful kind of touch of gladness through the body and also with the mind. Anyone else? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Irritation with the fly on her face. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. 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 So the little legs of the fly tickle the face. There's aversion, the feeling tone, the Vedana. The Vedana is unpleasant. So there's aversion that comes. And the aversion builds into anger. And then there's the desire. I want to feel glad, not angry. And so we're actually resisting the feeling that's there. And the more we resist that, it's most likely that the more agitated and annoyed and irritated we become. So, what to do you think? What would shift you from irritation to something else? One way is just to go, oh, okay, I'm feeling irritated. We see the irritation. Irritation usually comes with the thought. You want the fly to go away. I don't want this experience. I want another experience. So then what we do is we see that each thought comes to an end. Every feeling, even irritation and anger, comes to an end, it ceases. So we just notice when it ceases, and with the cessation of the thought or the feeling, there's a little spaciousness where we can be rather more steady with the pleasant and the unpleasant Vedana. So this is how we work with it. We start to be steady with the pleasant and the unpleasant. But it's true, we can set the intention and it doesn't always work out the way we wanted. This is life. And so we have to look and go, oh, something else happened. It wasn't what I wanted. And then we look again and go, oh, all right. We know that feelings are impermanent. Feelings cease. Anger ceases when we let go of the thoughts, when we stop fueling it. And so we see the end of the thought. We see the end of the feeling. And then we have a bit more sense of space. But thank you for the example. And of course, in that example, there's great awareness of what's happening. You're aware. Sometimes it helps if we rest more into the awareness itself rather than what the awareness reveals. And then we're not thinking about the fly all the time, but we're resting more into the awareness, which is a sense of, can give us a sense of the vast and a much more spacious way of being. Let's do the next instruction. The next instruction in this section is about concentrating the citta, concentrating the heart-mind. Now, concentration is often difficult for some people, and there are two approaches. We can have a rather one-pointed concentration where we focus on one thing and exclude all else. For example, if when we breathe, we focus on the sensations at the tip of the nose or on the top lip, we just feel the touch of the breath. For some people, that's where the breath is felt, on the in-breath and the out-breath. So there's many practices where people just focus on that one sensation. And when we do that, what we're doing is excluding all else. It is possible, of course, to go rather deeply with one-pointed concentration. But for many people, it's rather difficult to keep the attention. And the mind wanders off and jumps to the past, runs to the future. We've heard it already here today. And so what I'm suggesting with the concentration aspect is to use a different method. We can also be rather focused or concentrated when we have an expansive view or attitude. And by this I mean the word samadhi is the word in Pali, is the word that's used and translated as concentration, but what it actually means is the mind that's gathered or the mind that's composed. So our aim, if you wouldn't mind trying, is just to sit with a mind that's composed. And one way of sitting with a broad focus is to sit with a rather inclusive an inclusive, expansive mind. So sometimes when we just rest into awareness, we have the sense that our awareness can include everything. It includes the sounds, it includes the touch of the breath, it includes the sensations in the knees, for example. It includes the feelings that come through the body. So our attention can be like a broad lake, the surface of a broad lake. So we're not trying to narrow the attention. We're trying to have a broad, vast, expansive attention. If you wouldn't mind, it's easier to try it that way. So the instruction is breathing in, concentrating the heart mind, breathing out, concentrating the heart mind. Anybody have the sense of a mind that was unified, a mind that was gathered? Yes. She said, building from the other exercises, the heart felt just warmer and warmer. Ah. Yes. And mind or consciousness was very cool and stretching outwards. So this is the knowing of the mind that's vast. And the coolness, say a little more about the coolness. She said, like an umbrella, but it was very expansive and she was under the umbrella. Lovely. Beautiful. So, did the expansiveness have any end? Okay, beautiful. So she said, it didn't have an end. But there was a sense of expansion and sometimes into a smaller space, yeah? Contraction. So sometimes there was the knowing of that which has no end. This is the immeasurable mind. This is the heart and mind that is vast. When we just touch into this, we can really get an extraordinary sense of that which is unending. And then Deb said that she had the sense sometimes of a contraction and then of an expansion, then again of a contraction. So we can be at peace with both expansion and contraction. So we rest nowhere. We don't grasp the immeasurable because then it will fade. We don't grasp the contraction and say, oh, I'm stuck here. We're just with the totality, comfortable with the expansion and comfortable with the contraction. Wonderful. And the coolness, the meaning of Nibbana is to cool off. So the coolness of the mind, the anger cools, the distress cools, the worry cools, all that we add to and layer over the actuality of what's happening cools. This is where our freedom is found. We know our freedom when there's the fires of the mind cool. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Yeah. Yes. She said she felt the connection between her breath and the ability to expand and contract. So what was the connection? Expanding, contracting, and the connection? Yes. 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 So sometimes we have the perception that the body expands, gets larger, then contracts and comes back to its ordinary size. And when we have these perceptions, what it does is it unsettles or shakes up our ordinary view that we have of life, ourselves, how we perceive the world. And it seemed like, from the way you've reported it, that there's an ease with this process. Brilliant. Because if we can be at ease with expansion and contraction, we know peace. Because life is full of expansion and contraction. We meet life sometimes with an open heart, and then the heart closes again. There are all kinds of expansions and contractions that we meet in our daily life. And if we can be at ease with both of those movements, with the coming and going, expansion, contraction, we know peace. And if we're just aware, we can right there touch into non-clinging. We don't cling to the expansion, we don't cling to the contraction. It's the liberating ingredient, non-clinging, in the face of all the dualities that we encounter. Success and failure, pleasure and pain, the light and the dark, the joy, the sorrow, the difficult and the easy, the beauty and the ugliness. When we can be steady with that, the heart and mind is really free. Let's do the final instruction in this section. It's my favorite. I completely love this instruction because it has the capacity to just thrust us into our knowing of freedom itself. The instruction is breathing in, liberating or freeing the heart mind. Breathing out, liberating the heart mind. So we're actually just sitting already in as much freedom as we can kind of muster up today. As much freedom as we can, right here and now. We're not sitting in order to gain freedom somewhere down the track. Because often we have this view with our practice that we're sitting now in order for something to happen later. We'll feel all the joy and freedom and liberation later. And then we're caught up. But the instruction is right now, be free. Hold to nothing. So, breathing in, liberating the heart mind, breathing out, liberating the heart mind. So what did you discover? Direct experience, please. Yes. 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 Because? Okay. So it sounds like you were caught up in trying. Yes? Were you caught in wanting the freedom? Yes. 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 So sometimes we have a strong preference for one instruction or another, and the instruction seems to work better for us. And in a way, that's why I'm giving you a kind of taste of the many, many instructions that are on offer, because sometimes we need actually to take up the instruction that works for us. And if we have a particular type of mind, one instruction will really resonate. What prevented you from knowing freedom here and now? Yes, you wanted to give the mind something to do. Yes. Sorry? The task, yes. Yes. You wanted to give the mind something to do. We are doer focused. We like a task. We like to, the sense of self wraps itself around, I want something to do, because that's our familiar way that we operate in the world. We operate doing. We operate achieving. We operate wanting to acquire something. And actually, in the Dharma world, this tendency can actually prevent us from seeing directly our freedom. So we need to let go of the doing. Let go of wanting the task to be really precise. Sometimes we have the view that it has to be focused, precise. And the notion of just letting go into a vast sense of freedom is a bit scary. We don't want to do it. Yes, she's smiling. Yes. 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 Yes, brilliant. You just stayed with the breathing. Oh. Yes? Yes? Yes. Okay. With just the breathing, was there any difficulty? Yay. Liberation. Liberation from oneself. Yes. So right there is the knowing of freedom in that moment. Just with what is happening. We're with life directly. The breathing's in the present. The breathing's happening now. The mental formations and ideas and everything else just collapse when we're just with the breath. And what also collapses are our attachments, our desires, our wanting our experience to be otherwise. And so just there, in the simplicity of the breath, is freedom itself. Well done. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's how I write it too. Yes. Yes. And? Yes. Okay. Okay, so maybe breathing a little too fast, but did the head and heart seem separate still? Yes, okay. When we meditate sometimes, we can actually have the feeling of the lack of separation between the head and heart. So you were beginning, the contraction loosened up in the chest. And then there was the head getting lighter and lighter. The thoughts becoming a little more ethereal, not so solid. Great. Thoughts are insubstantial. Ideas and concepts are fabrications, they're constructions, they're put together. And the depth of the Dharma is touched into when we see and know that which is not put together by anything. We know or understand directly through our experience the ending of all concepts, the ending of all ideas. And sometimes we just get this lightheadedness as a little signal, first of all. And the contraction in the heart starts to ease. And there's, did the heart feel warm? No. Okay. Explore a little more, play a little more, and see what comes. Yes, there was someone here. The bell. Ah, okay. Okay. So the meditations are far too short for you. How about the 45-minute ones? Do you still... Okay, are you saying you only have wonderful experiences just before the bell or all the time? Okay, she says it happens a lot. She starts to feel something good and the bell goes. The bell goes and interrupts the goodness. Oh, you think about the bell when it hasn't even gone. Oh, okay. Would you like the bell to go faster? Or is it just you are cutting through the thoughts yourself with an idea? Ah, got it. Okay. There won't be enough time. Oh, isn't this a mantra for life? There won't be enough time for me to do what I need to do in this life. There won't be enough time in the meditation. There won't be enough time in anywhere. So this view, it's a view. There's not enough time. Time is going to run out. Have you ever had a moment of timelessness where time stands still? Yes. When you're completely absorbed in doing something that you really love, time stands still. What does that show you about time? fiction. Yes. Yes, exactly. Yes. Time is a fiction. It's a fabrication. It's constructed. It's a convention. And so we can actually know directly timelessness. When we're really with life, absorbed, not caught up in ideas and self and I, me and my and what I want and what I'm going to do with all this time that I have, this limited time that I have. When we're just fully with life, time ceases. And in that timeless moment, there's peace, isn't there? There isn't a problem. You're utterly with life, just as it is in that moment. So when we know the timeless, we can be with life in a way that's quite extraordinary, where we're not fearful that time's going to run out. We're just with life. And so mindfulness, sati, means to be with, to be very near, to be with life fully. And then, of course, the worries, the ideas, there's not enough time, the views cease, they fall away. The Buddha said, when me and mine ceases, or when all views cease, rather, when all views cease, there's peace. And so the view, there's not enough time, is constructed. And it's a very familiar view, isn't it? It colours our life. We don't know how much time we have. Okay. We have come to the end of this section of the instructions. Thank you very much for your responses and input. We all learn from one another. Last week, there was somebody here, one of the managers actually, who said, she said, oh, Radha, I didn't feel any joy or freedom when I was in the room, but when I listened to other people, I felt their joy and freedom. And she said, well, as I was walking out of the room, I felt the joy and freedom just cross my chest and my chest filled. And she said, and then I knew it. So from listening to another, we can really sense and know, even if our experiences weren't joyful, we didn't touch into the freedom directly. Through the listening, we learn, we understand, we hear, and we can feel joy for other people. And that joy enlivens our own heart. That gladness fills our own heart, and that freedom emerges and nourishes us. So this is the way. Please explore, enjoy cultivating the gladness, concentrating the mind, and most of all, liberating the heart-mind. Cheers. Thank you.